actual moment that we wait for every week.
Pretty exciting, huh?
They're back with a big new program.
When you hear the chime, it will be exactly...
Who wants an orange whip?
Are we live?
Yeah!
Orange whip.
Come get some.
Orange whip.
And here it is.
Three orange whips.
Party, I'm more like a riot.
Nailed on the roof, gang.
Here's Johnny.
You shall see that.
He's alive.
Wonderful to tell.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Hail to the king, baby.
Release the Kraken.
It's showtime.
And welcome back to the big program. I am Derek Knight. I remembered to say the name of the podcast. It is episode 5, maybe episode 4. We don't know yet, because episode 4 was a bit of a shit show. Speaking of, here's Colin. Colin's with us, Colin Burton.
Speaking of a shit show?
You're supposed to say, hi.
Hi.
My sister Heather.
Hola.
And my girlfriend Jess.
What's up?
And we're all ready to entertain ye. Hopefully a little bit better now. We do have more alcohol in us than when we started episode 4.
The episode that shall not be named.
Which, it's no Tom Riddle, but it'll happen. I mean, and the thing is, if you made it through that episode, you earned this episode. You really did. I think that your reward for that, for listening to that episode, shall be this episode. But we've been drinking. Colin's double fisting. He's got two tiki drinks in front of him. I've got two tiki drinks in front of me. Both, however, see, he and Jess are drinking out of vintage mugs from Wong's in Cincinnati, Ohio. And Colin also has the Mai Kai mug from Florida. Both of my mugs are from Horror in Clay, which horror is a word that I'm not really good at saying. Horror.
Horror.
Horror in Clay. There's a guy from Atlanta who does these really brilliant fucking tiki mugs. Look at that.
It's beautiful.
It's the best look. Yeah,
this so is beautiful.
Drinking a dark light out of the dark lantern mug, which is not a lot of skull mugs look like shit. Mm. I'm just going to say that. It's just a fact. A lot of skull tiki mugs look like shit.
The glazing is so important.
Heather's looking up at my shelf of like, well, how many do you have? And
well,
I'm like, I have the ones that don't look like shit. And this is the cream of the crop of skull mugs.
Yeah, that is
Dark Lantern.
One of the most beautiful mugs I've ever seen in terms of the detail. And the glazing they picked for it was perfect.
Yeah, it's called Corpse Blue. The Corpse Blue Glaze. It's done for Netherworld Haunted House, which is a haunted house in the Atlanta area. So apparently you can get the bone glaze from the haunted house.
Mm.
But I don't go to haunted houses, and I'm not going to Atlanta anytime soon, so I have the Corpse Blue. Anyway, yeah, welcome to episode 5.
Woo!
Where we've already determined that Fritos are corn chips and tortilla chips are tortilla chips. We've already determined that we have a mascot for the big program, and it is Capenzi.
Woo! Stuff Capenzi for the win.
Stuff Capenzi with what appears to be a Hogwarts scarf.
Mm-hmm. Stuffed Capenzi doesn't have bones.
Mm-mm. Stuffed Capenzi could run into the wall and live. If only the real Capenzi were stuffed. Well, she probably is now.
Oh. No, I imagine they cremated her.
You think? You cremated a giraffe?
They fed her to the poor.
I mean,
kind of like with the geese. I mean, too.
I imagine
you
they have
you
to be
a family of four for 2 years with one giraffe. Please donate your giraffe carcasses
to the homeless. Of Denver. Yeah. Oh. No, I feel like they have to be able to dispose of departed beloved zoo animals somehow. And cremation, makes more sense than burying when you're talking about, like, you know, an elephant or a hippopotamus.
Well, especially if you've seen Pet Sematary at all.
Speaking of remade movies.
I don't understand why you'd remake that movie.
To make it scarier.
I mean, Fred Gwynne was pretty scary in the first one. I mean, didn't he have the line when the dude said, why'd you dig up my wife? And he said, because I wanted to fuck her.
That's
forever
since I've
seen
that. Fred
Gwynne right there. Why would you remake that movie when it's already got that perfect scene?
Fred Gwynne saying that line would be terrifying.
Because I wanted to fuck her.
And I've never seen that movie
because he was doing a Maine accent.
Oh.
So it's Fred Gwynne. who actually...
For those of you who don't know, Fred Gwynne played Herman Munster.
He did, but he was an accomplished actor.
Very accomplished.
And went to Harvard, was the editor of the Harvard Lampoon, president of the Harvard Lampoon.
He was also in, wasn't he in Car 54, Where Are You?
Yeah, he was the Gunther Tutti character or whatever in Car 54, Where Are You, the original TV series. A lot of you youngins, and by youngins I mean maybe Gen Xers, would know him as Judge Haller from My Cousin Vinny. But my favorite role of Fred Gwynne is Max Green from Disorganized Crime, one of my favorite movies, which I made Jess sit through recently.
Yes.
Because I watch it all the time. It's not one of those things where, like, I don't know if this is going to hold. I know it holds up because I watch it all the time.
When I travel.
Yeah. Well, we'll get your take on it here in a second.
Okay.
But I and Heather, we both grew up watching movies because our dad ran a movie theater. And so we would watch some movies a lot. And I think you probably see this behavior, Colin, is if she likes something, she'll just keep watching it. Yeah. Watch it over and over.
Tombstone.
But also one of the things that, you know, her and I'll do is we don't have to watch a movie more than a couple times. We got all the dialogue down. Jess claims to not remember dialogue from movies. So if we do a movie quote, any movie quote thing, if I quote a movie, she's like, I don't know what that's from. But it could even be a movie she likes.
I struggle. And it's something that I cannot apologize for the way that my brain just naturally works, but I have always struggled to remember the plots of movies and books and details. But the joy that comes with that is I can read things twice. I can see movies or episodes of favorite shows again years later, and it's as if I've never seen them before.
True. And I watch my favorite movies over and over, and I'm trying to pick out the continuity errors. And I'm trying to pick out little things like, that's a plot hole. That's bad writing. That's weird. Sometimes I get to see, you know, like, oh, that's a really great scene. The case in point, the Lady Killers remake with Tom Hanks. It was critically panned. And I do think that overall it might be the weakest effort of the Coen brothers. However, there are two or three perfect scenes in that movie. And one is just the reaction when the two characters walk into the donut shop initially when they're introducing all the characters. And the wife of the character called the General is at the front counter of the donut store, and she's screaming at them in Vietnamese, and he comes out of the back and starts beating the shit out of him. And as soon as he starts, he shoves his fingers up the kid's nose is the first step, and she gives the camera hits her. The scene is just her face, and it's this look of, I told you. But she was speaking in a language they couldn't understand. And so just that scene, that moment to me is just like, I rewind it and watch it over and over and over. But Disorganized Crime, a classic from the late 80s.
Yes.
And I like it. I watch it when I'm traveling a lot on the plane. And I forced you to watch it because you don't remember having seen it.
I may have seen it at some point before. I don't remember having ever seen it.
Well, I thought you said you watched it when you were on mushrooms or something.
No, I think I was confusing it with Usual Suspects, which is a totally different movie.
I don't know how you could do that.
Again, I don't remember movies at all.
Yeah.
No, I quite enjoyed Disorganized Crime. I thought it was very clever. It was, it seemed to fall within that era of movies in the 80s where the writing actually had to be decent for a movie to be successful because they couldn't special effects their way out of it. And I rather enjoyed it. I thought the acting was great.
Yeah, Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yeah, Lou Diamond Phillips.
Not playing Richie Valens.
He was pretty good. He was wonderful. And you are right. Fred Gwynne was the star of that movie.
Yeah,
he made that movie.
I would put that movie in the same category as Midnight Run, The Burbs. Yeah. What's your favorite movie from that era?
That era?
I would say 85 to 89.
Oh my God, there are so many.
I know. This is going to be a tough question for you.
Wow.
What about you, Colin?
Hold on, I gotta see if it's 85 to 89.
Gotta look it up.
You know, I've got a couple that I'll throw out there. And I don't want to say this is like all-time favorite or anything, but the movie Quick Change.
Now that scene
with
is
Bill Murray and Gina Davis.
One of my absolute favorites.
I love that movie.
I think that might be 90.
Oh, see, I was thinking it was like 88 or 89.
It might be. Might be 88.
Let me see.
I'm probably gonna have to go with The Goonies.
Really?
That was 84.
Well, that was 84.
No, it was 85 because we were in Junction for the 6 weeks, and that was the movie that we kept begging Grandma to take us to see.
You're right. It is 1985.
And Quick Change is 1990.
Ha-ha! Ha-ha! I was right on one and wrong on the other.
Yeah, did I not right. say that my head doesn't remember shit like that?
Not a problem.
Yeah.
It just
mine
doesn't.
Mine is Highlander, believe it or not.
Highlander.
Oh, I love the
but
Highlander.
But you well, like, you revel well, in bad movies.
See, not just that, and it's not a bad movie. But not just that.
It's not a bad movie
it's
at
not
all.
A bad movie. It's like the sequels.
Your opinion, man.
The sequels were horrible. The first one was really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
But when I was working at during that time, I was working at a theater, and that was our staple midnight movie. One of like, three movies that we would always show. Another was Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Okay. Which, but, I mean...
Save it for another time.
Anyway. But yeah, Highlander. I saw that so many times. I loved it. It was wonderful. What? It was a perfect movie for the time.
What about it did you like?
Just the whole idea of the thing. The way it played out. The way it traveled through history and showed him learning as he went how being immortal sucks.
#immortal sucks.
But then I felt like the prize at the end was one of the lamest prizes you could ever get for all the crap that you had to go through.
Well, see, and that's the thing. I've never seen it.
Mm. Well, so then you're speaking from not
judging,
a point of
not a point of
from
what?
Your base the base knowledge I have of your general disdain for both science fiction and fantasy as a genre.
Uh-huh.
My guess would be that you would watch it and be like, "What?"
Yeah,
well, it certainly wouldn't be my wheelhouse. I don't like space. I don't like dinosaurs. I don't like sci-fi, and I don't like fantasy. It's not to say that I can't watch a movie that has those elements.
Pretty much my entire childhood. Everything that was important to me.
And you've forced me to watch some of it.
I thought he was going to say, and you've grown beyond that.
But what was it that you liked?
Goonies.
Goonies. Ah, see, but
love
that
Goonies. Love Goonies. Love
you
it.
You know, I loved it at the time. And I sat with Max and watched it, and I was like, shit, this doesn't really hold up.
Oh, like, I think it holds up.
I didn't feel like it was very well put together as a movie. I didn't think, but I think
it was a little lazy.
Also made for 12-year-olds.
Right, exactly.
But it got heavily edited. I mean, a lot of the plot was edited out, and I think you have that problem with one of those Don Bluth movies.
Lord of the Rings?
No, Sword in the Stone, or what the fuck is that, with Madame Mim?
Oh, yeah, the Sword in the Stone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You say that was so heavily edited that it made a
well,
bad cut.
And the Black Cauldron was what
oh,
we
Black
were
Cauldron.
Originally talking
Black
about.
Cauldron.
So Black Cauldron came out in 1985, and it was a Disney movie that is known far and wide as being the worst thing that Disney ever put out. And it is based on a very, very famous fantasy book series, and the Black Cauldron was originally meant to be rated. It was the first Disney movie that was rated PG-13. And it, as far as the quote unquote animated classics, but it was a movie that in its original, content was supposed to be 2 hours long, which for an animated feature was unheard of. And so they cut the shit out of it. And it was, I don't know the full story, but something like half of the staff left 3/4 of the way through the movie, and the rest of the people had to pick it up. And the Disney animators who weren't used to being directed, they were used to animating very coherent storylines, like coherent fairy tales like Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty. And then you get this very complex fantasy story. And they didn't animate it well because different animation teams were working on different segments of the movie. And when they assembled it, there was no cohesiveness and no coherency. Like, they just animated sequences completely differently. And so it ended up being a complete incomprehensible shit show.
Cohesion?
Yeah, there was no cohesion.
So, when was the last time you watched The Goonies?
Me?
No.
Heather.
Her.
Sorry, choking on popcorn.
Because I noticed she didn't have her microphone on and she's purple.
Yeah.
If you can talk, you can breathe. We're good.
It's probably only been a couple of years, honestly.
Okay, so what did you... And then you're super old. So
right.
You've watched it as an adult and you still love it.
Yeah, I do. And I really think they always say when you're about, because I was 14 when that movie came out. So when you're about that age, everything that you love kind of just
sticks.
You just hold on to it. And that was I loved that movie. It had everything I loved in it. You know, it was like the group of friends and the pirate treasure and the bad guys. And oh my God, it was just perfect. I loved it.
Yeah. So speaking of the group of friends and the pirate treasure and the bad guys, Stranger Things 3. Spoiler alert, listener. We're going to talk about Stranger Things 3 because everybody that's in this room has watched it.
Yeah.
We've done it. Now, Jess and I were shit hammered. We watched it.
4th of July. 4th of July watched when it came out. We watched the entire thing.
We celebrated our freedom by getting way too drunk.
We were really drunk, and I remember looking at Derek and being like, oh my God, it's 1 in the morning. How did that even happen? How did we even get here? We binge-watched.
I'm very tolerant when I'm shit hammered. What did you think about it, Colin?
I thought it had a very slow start. We watched the first two episodes on the 4th, and then we finished it off on the 5th. And because we didn't get started on it till late.
And we had to work the next day.
And we had to work the next day. But yeah, it felt like the first two episodes were just so much nothing to them. I don't know. But then it picked up.
Yeah. Well, my comment after the kid got attacked by the thing in his Trans Am or whatever the fuck.
Right.
I was like, man, don't you fucking tell me that we have to like this guy now.
Right.
Don't tell me that you're going to fucking make me like this guy at the end of the fucking thing. Don't fucking do that.
They gave you the license to like him.
Right. Well, and that's what they did with Steve originally. And that's because she countered with, well, but they made you like Steve. And I'm like, yeah, but Steve's cool.
Steve's like awesome. Everybody's favorite now. And if you go back and watch like episodes 1 and 2 of the first season, Steve is the fucking dick bag.
Mm-hmm. And one of the funny things that we did because we were drunk a little by accident, but it actually helped, is we watched the first 5 to 7 minutes of episode 1, season 1. Before we started season 3. And it was kind of a nice refresher of where those kids started. And then getting into season 3, I'm not going to say that you're wrong, but it didn't feel like it started very slow for me, but I was also drunk. So sometimes.
And we also had the break. Maybe if we didn't have the break, it wouldn't have felt that
well.
Way.
Well, I watched the first few episodes over here, then went over to her house and finished over there.
I was hooked back in the first 6 minutes of the first episode.
And one of the things that I loved about this season were, I mean, it's always been derivative. It's always been 80s. It's always been like, let's homage all these things. I loved the whole Midnight Run subplot.
And not many people have picked up on that yet.
Yeah.
In the media.
The Smirnoff character and them on the lam in the Cadillac. Because the soundtrack was what gave it away. Mm. If you listen to the soundtrack of those sections, it was totally that soundtrack, homaging the soundtrack from Midnight Run.
I want to say something because I'm really proud of myself for that one because I don't remember movies and I had never seen Midnight Run and I knew it was one of Derek's favorite movies and he made me watch it a while back and I was trying so hard to pay attention when we were watching it because I knew it was one of his favorite movies and I knew that I was really bad at remembering movies and I knew he would reference it and I wouldn't get it and then it would just be a bad situation.
It's not that bad.
And we got to that moment in Stranger Things, and I looked at him and I was like, holy shit, they're referencing Midnight Run right now. And he was like, no. No. And
well,
then he looked
at threw out a couple other movies that I thought they were, because they do homage several movies at the same time. But then, the whole scene kicked in.
And then the song kicked
in,
and you were like, fuck, that's awesome.
Yeah. What did you think about it?
I really liked it. Yeah. And I liked the first couple of episodes just because you were getting to see where they were at that point. And, like, I love Steve and his little Ahoy outfit and slinging ice cream.
And one of the things that we were saying is that I love that they're just accepting that these kids have aged. Mm-hmm. And they're just playing into those teenage stereotype tropes so well and in a very 80s way.
But they're working in their awkwardness in a wonderful way in that, like, I mean, all of these kids have aged and matured and you can't ignore the rate at which the actors are naturally maturing. Uh-huh. And I love that they acknowledge that instead of trying to hide it because I think so many series especially try to hide it or try to force kids to stay younger than they are when they're growing fast or force them to grow faster than they're ready for. Hmm. And I just love that the writing in this season is acknowledged that. And I think the first couple of episodes really kind of established that. Like, you are in a different place than where you left them. there's been a time gap, and they have gone from being little kids to being teenagers, and that's a huge move, except for Will. Poor Will. Yeah. Poor Will is like in the dust.
I have a feeling Will is gay.
Oh, well, that's, I believe his character, they've already established that.
That he's gay.
They've already established that his character is gay.
And that's what Mike said. It's not my fault that you don't like girls.
Right.
Yeah, I think that was talked about after the last season, and it's kind of, that's established in canon in a way that they're not out overtly saying it because it is an 80s homage.
But it's also kind of a beautiful acknowledgement, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Heather.
Yes.
I know that there was this whole Terminator Red Dawn vibe. But the interrogation scene when she spits at the Russian guy, what movie was that homaging?
God, it's on the tip of my tongue.
It's one of your favorites.
I know, because when she was... remember?
Yeah, she called it. She called it before she did it.
Because I called it.
Because I was like, spit on his face.
And Jess was like, no. And I was like, yep. It's Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yes,
the Kali Ma black sleep
scene. Yes, when she spit
Indy spits. No, well, she spits,
she
but...
She spit on his face.
Indy spits on Molaram as well.
Right.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because he spits the stuff out. But she does, and he wipes it slowly.
Yeah, very slowly.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was a whole lot, because they made that Russian character Molaram. They referenced Molaram with that character multiple times.
They really just saw him as the dude from the Terminator. Yeah, just the way...
Not the big Russian, the little guy. The colonel.
Oh, like, the colonel.
The guy in charge of the whole operation. That was Molaram. No, the big dude was clearly Terminator.
Yeah.
You can't get around the fact that he was Terminator.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the Russian in charge was totally Molaram. Because they did so many scenes interjected with him that were super homage-y to the Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. All mashed in.
Well,
also, the one scene where she was, the dialogue that the other ice cream girl was saying was exactly Karen Allen's dialogue from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Which one?
I can't remember the scene specifically, but the way she was saying things and the words, the inflection was all straight up Karen Allen.
When they had them drugged.
Yes.
When they had her and Steve drugged.
Yes. And I loved that scene. But then, and that whole thing too, when the elevator door was coming down and they had to stop it with
the thing. I shouted.
Remember? And I yelled. I was like, it's all Indiana Jones.
Yep.
he just needed to lose his little Ahoy hat and pull it back through. I wish he had done
that. That would have been great. But I mean, that's usually a lot of people are like, oh, I don't like Stranger Things. It's very derivative. It's like, it's supposed to be.
That's the point.
Yeah. It is cashing in on nostalgia from the get-go, and if you don't like that, don't watch it.
But I think what we've jumped into, too, is it's such a trove of Easter eggs.
It is.
And there's so many Easter eggs, and like right now, like if you read the reviews and things like that, people are, oh, yeah, Terminator and Red Dawn. I mean, those are the really overarching ones.
And we both like that they brought the Russians into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many other little pops and carrots to other, like, lesser-known, like, I mean, obviously, the Midnight Run subplot is a great example. Like, you really, like, they were so clever with the way they weaved all of that in.
Well, and as I kept pointing out, because we were arguing a lot, is they were weaving multiple movies into one scene.
Yeah.
More than once, which I thought was fun. Because people of our age, it's like, oh, all of this is so recognizable. And then there's certain things, and she's like, I recognize that. And I'm like, oh, I never saw that. So there's several Easter eggs still in there that I'm probably like, so. I mean, you get overwhelmed, though. And that's the problem. Like, I feel like I miss some of the plot because I'm just so overwhelmed by, I recognize that.
I recognize that. To watch it again, too, and just pay attention to the soundtrack, because I think they're giving you so many more clues.
They are.
Just the soundtrack, because they'll be showing you visuals that are reminiscent of one thing, but giving you a soundtrack for something else entirely.
Yeah. And Weird Al was actually featured pretty heavily. They played My Bologna, but it was his version of Daisy Bell was the carnival style music.
Hmm.
And what's his name? The kid with no teeth.
Dustin
wears an in 3D shirt in like episode 2 or 3.
Yeah.
So I mean there's a lot of Weird Al in it. So that's great because that was the era when Weird Al was actually climbing the charts and doing shit. So and of course the nerdy fucking science teacher's listening to Weird Al while he's doing nerdy science shit, so that's great.
My big thing was everybody's wallpaper.
Yes.
God, it was all so atrocious.
That post you put up about, like, the richer the person is in Stranger Things, the worse their wallpaper is. It's totally true.
Yes.
Totally true.
The scene where they go running over to Heather's house to make sure she's okay, and Billy's there, and the parents are there and everything.
Oh.
And the dad was such an ass to the wife, and Colin said, aren't you glad I'm not like that? And I was like, well, number one, yeah, because I wouldn't have to live in a house with that wallpaper.
Yeah, that was, I really
liked...
My mic
was muted when I laughed. Yeah. That's why you're... Don't look at me that way. I was eating a Tootsie Roll.
I'll look at you how I want.
I was eating a Tootsie Roll, and I didn't want that.
I want to throw something out there, because I noticed something that I think was a really heavy reference in this particular season. And it happened earlier, but I didn't quite catch it in earlier seasons. But I think in this season, it was very heavily troped. And I want to see if you guys picked up on it. So Mrs. Wheeler, who does she remind you of in terms of, like, the 80s pantheon of famous actresses?
I'm not done. I'm finishing one and going on to the other.
I'm horrid with names.
I thought that was you.
No, it wasn't me.
It was me.
It can be me.
And think about specifically the scene where she comes out of, like, where she's in the swimming pool.
So we already talked about this.
She's the one that was going to have a repair, right?
Yeah, so Mrs. Okay. Wheeler, Mike's mom.
Karen.
The one that was potentially going to have the affair with Billy.
And yet went back to the dad from War Games.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not.
I don't know.
I'm bad.
Did you ever see the movie Mannequin?
Oh, Kim Cattrall. Yes, Kim Cattrall, yes.
She looks so much like Kim Cattrall. They did her makeup exactly like Kim Cattrall's makeup in Mannequin.
And her hair.
Everything. Yeah. Everything screams Kim Cattrall's roles in the 80s.
Did you see the aerobics video that they had her put out?
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah, all the
jazzercise
stretches, the jazzercise video. Nice. They did the supplemental mall commercial, but now they have do jazzercise and stretch
with
between
Mrs.
episodes.
Wheeler.
Mm. It's like mind flare, attack, retreat.
Yeah, I was avoiding everything that I could before this.
See, she was too, and I wasn't. I watched all the trailers, I watched all the supplemental stuff because I'm like, it's not going to affect my enjoyment.
I like being surprised.
I know that there's going to be a monster that's hard to kill, and it's going to be weird, and it's going to have a lot of 80s references, so I'm cool. Like, I'm not going like, oh, that really fucked it up for me. But I get it. Some people don't want to go in with any precognition. I'm okay. I don't mind my presence being spoiled. You know, it's like there's still presence, so I'm cool.
Speaking of monster that's hard to kill, there's a lot of people who have mixed opinions about the main monster in this particular season, the Mind Flayer.
Hardcore spoiler alert, the blob.
Mm. Yeah, the blob.
I liked it.
I liked it, too. I liked the whole liquefied meat monster for two reasons.
It started with rats.
One, it was actually a physical thing that you could fight. Mm-hmm. I didn't like this idea that it was going to be an indestructible force. It was susceptible to physical damage, and I liked that. Plus, it moved terribly. It was what you would expect from a lumbering, moist meat monster. It was really... It's like they saw it, like they made eye contact with it, and it's like, well, it's still going to be like 20 minutes before it gets to the house.
Which really does trope most 80s horror movies.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they stuck around.
Yeah, I'm curious, Colin, because are you familiar with that?
That's more Colin's genre.
That's like your wheelhouse, right? Like,
yeah, horror stuff.
So
yeah.
What did you think? I want to know your full like breakdown.
Well, I really liked it, but again, I thought that... Sorry, I got a Frito in my mouth.
Since just shoved a Frito in your mouth.
I got popcorn, too.
I'll ask you again in a second.
Okay. I really liked it, but I thought the decision to stay at the cabin and try to reinforce it was stupid. Especially as slow as it was coming.
I believe I said those exact words. I'm like, the fuck you guys think you're doing?
Right?
And he was like, you've got a car. Get in the car and go.
And then they eventually do that. It's like...
But at the same point, I feel like they did that move on purpose because that's what happens in every 80s horror movie.
Yes, plus... Yeah. There was no other way to drive the plot forward of Eleven losing her powers. Spoiler alert!
Right. Well, actually, she didn't lose them until she threw the car.
Yeah, that wasn't until much later. Well, it wasn't throwing the car. It was pulling the thing out of her leg.
It was pulling the thing out of her leg.
That was the last
thing
she did.
But still, that was the only way to advance the plot to that point.
And I also knew after the second season that they were going to have to do that because she couldn't remain as powerful as she was because she's just too damn powerful.
It's an indestructible force. And then it's like, well... And I do like the little pops of her using her power for shitty little things like
spying on the boys, blowing up the soda,
yeah, fun shit like that. But I agree, making her a constantly indestructible force,
Deus Ex Machina,
And I will say this again, hardcore spoiler alert. But Hopper is fucking dead. Now they didn't show us a body. They said the phrase to give us hope, not the American.
Right.
We don't see the American.
And you don't ever see him die.
There's no other American it could be.
There is millions of other Americans. Do you know what the population of America is?
Colin, key thing.
When they hit the base, no Russians. They caught nobody.
Somehow they
all got the hell out.
They were all gone.
They hit the panic button and transported.
But I did, yeah, one of the things I did say is they never showed us Hopper's body.
Exactly.
And
somehow
Hopper,
they have a Demogorgon.
But what I did say, you know, after that was Hopper has survived in the Upside Down before.
Mm-hmm.
So if he got pushed to the Upside Down, I get it, but I'm still mad about it.
But they set you up from the very beginning, because at the very beginning, the very first bit was the Russian who screws up, and they melt a bunch of people because the device doesn't work. It's not keeping the gate open.
Right.
And then that's when Smirnoff gets the gig. After something like that happens, you would think that they would have a contingency plan for that meltdown happening again.
Except Hopper fucks up the machine by throwing the Terminator into it. And that's why he couldn't get back to the room, was because the machine was blocking his path.
Right. So you'd think that the Russians would have some sort of contingency plan for a meltdown, right? They flipped whatever switch that was.
Yes.
And
I'm sure they're going to come up with some reason.
Because you can't.
I feel
like more than anything, this whole season was a setup for the next season, which is going to be a doozy.
The first season was a setup for two, and two is a setup for three. And yeah, at the end of one, you think, oh, 11 is obliterated. Nope, she's not. She's out in the woods eating waffles. And then suddenly she's, so I get it.
And then she's got her tongue down Mike's throat, and it's amazing in season three.
I don't know. I mean, I liked it. I think there's a lot of... Our buddy Jason Hart. Jason, if you're listening, you're a curmudgeon, and you need not worry why the carnival music was in that transmission, because that transmission was designed to find landmarks in the mall, you dumb fuck! So they could do whatever they wanted. It wasn't that the lab was under the mall and there's no way it could be in there. They put a recording of it in there to give you the landmark. I don't know why you're so myopic on that point, but I love you. Jason likes his entertainment. He likes the Highlander too. I think you guys would actually.
Jason was really upset about the meat monster, though.
He was upset about the meat monster.
In what way?
That it was a meat monster. Oh.
I think that a lot of folks, so the Mind Flayer, I feel like some folks that I saw criticisms of, Jason's being one of them, was that the teaser at the end of season two led you to think it was going to be a much different type of enemy. And they didn't like the whole unexplained chemical addiction thing with the rats and the people eating fertilizer.
I agree. That seemed to be glossed over.
That was a little glossed over and a little unexplained, and what my hope is that they will explain it next season.
But, case in point, the end scene of season two was shot and produced before they had even written season three.
Right.
So, do you remember the two Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes movies? When they decided to introduce vaguely the Moriarty character at the end of the first one, they hadn't written the second movie. They hadn't cast Moriarty. So they just had him as a shadowy figure with a creepy voice. And then they went and cast Moriarty really well for that second one.
So what you're saying is, the end of season two, they sort of...
It was just one of those things where they were like, meh, this is what we have. And then they all got into their writer's room and they pitched their ideas. And they're like, yeah, that's great. Let's see if we can do something
similar. And they decided to go with this whole blob motif.
Yeah, while homaging things like the Blob. And I think it was a wonderful choice.
Oh, yeah. Especially when it bled through the door to
the
get
blob.
To her.
Aliens. Yeah. I mean, the whole alien is when its head was split, it suddenly took on the look of the alien, and the whole thing coming out of the thing, alien. And so it's like,
They've had the hardcore alien references since the first season.
They have, but it's like they're still going to carry on these solid 80s horror references, which again, do it. But there's so many things that the people are going to find, fault with anything.
Yeah, and just thinking about it, the chemicals and stuff might bend to liquefy their innards so that when it came time for them to collapse, they collapsed.
I like that explanation.
I mean, it was his magic or whatever the hell it is, holding them together and keeping them human.
It's
I actually
magic.
Told Heather that it would have been amazing if on the Ferris wheel that little girl had just...
I was, yeah, because when she got the look on her face, I'm like, oh shit, she's one of them.
Yeah, she's about
and
to turn
into... And then she's pulling the 80s kid trope of I see what the adults miss.
Exactly.
Why are the trees moving? Fuck off! Look at the
look
fireworks!
Look at that fireworks! That's not looking at
trees. Fuck you looking at that! Look at the fucking fireworks, kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, he wanted her to melt and just slide off.
I was just like, oh shit, here it comes. But again, they set those moments up where you're like, whoo, and you don't get what you want, and it's still like, oh, all right, cool, all right, cool.
So
did you like Carrie Ewells?
Elwes?
Elwes. Yeah,
it was funny because when he popped up, she's like, is that Carrie Elwes? And I'm like, it sure looks like him.
See,
and
we,
so we spent, but again, shithoused, and so I spent the next few scenes looking at him, and I'm like, yeah, yeah, it is. See,
I love that they brought him back as just like a shitty American mayor, too. Like, which is funny because he's such a wonderful actor.
Yeah, we'd last seen him in Psych, and he was like, what, 50, 60 pounds heavier?
Yeah, he was a really big guy in Psych.
Well, and I'm glad that he got himself
in shape. He just looked so skinny, and he was so good at being a weasel and a dick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the best. I think that's the best part, and she was saying that earlier. I'll just let you say it.
I don't remember what I was saying earlier.
Okay, well.
I'm just going to burst that bubble.
I'll do it in your
memory.
Voice.
Memories. Swiss cheese. Do it in my voice.
Yeah, basically saying that it's great bringing back these hardcore, iconic 80s actors in roles that they are not remembered for. In the opposite of what the trope would be.
Carrie Elwes, like the two big things that you would remember him in from the 80s era, of course, Princess Bride and Robin Hood. The remake,
Men
the Mel Brooks,
Men in Tights. Still, he played a hero.
But he played a hero. He played the heartthrob.
He played the pure,
blonde, sexy, like, as you wish dude. And now, you know, they brought him back in the freaking scumbag weasel, I want to poke this guy's eyes out kind of role. Yeah. And it's beautiful.
And
it's
let's be fair,
thing.
They did the same thing with Sean Astin.
Sean Astin was
a heartthrob. They brought him back as a fucking
Sean Astin wasn't a heartthrob. He was a nerdy fucking kid.
Not according to her.
I loved Sean Astin. I loved him then. I love him now. I just want to hug him.
Sean Astin. Oh, my God. I don't know whether to say... you know, he has had such a strange career.
I think that's where that slight age gap actually comes into play.
Because for me, it's like, dude, did you peek at Encino Man?
See, but you're referencing Encino Man. You're not referencing the cool kid from Goonies.
Because Goonies came out... I was, so that was 84?
85.
We already established it's 85.
Okay. So I was like 7/8
right.
when that came out.
Yeah. And see, Sean Astin is the same age as me. So to me, it was just like, oh.
So I was looking up at him as being like, oh my God, you're like the nerdy kid. And I was like, you know, Corey Feldman all the way. Mouth!
Well, look who chose poorly.
I chose poorly, okay? In retrospect, I married the wrong guy. In my head, I should have stuck with Bob.
But Bob dies.
In a horrible
And Corey Feldman, beyond all odds, is still alive
is
in
still
real
alive.
Life.
Speaking of referencing 80s
stuff.
Not Corey Haim.
Meanwhile, Josh Brolin is the one everybody should have been in love with, because Jesus, he's had a great career.
Oh, no, she was. Yeah,
that also reminds me of Lost Boys.
He was way too old for me.
That was what we were talking about. I'll let you talk here in a second, because you got to think. Mm-hmm. But when dude was going down the street in his Trans Am, she's like, fucking Lost Boys. And I'm like, he is the Kiefer Sutherland character.
He's totally.
From both Stand By Me and Lost Boys wrapped up into one.
Stand By Me and Lost Boys, like, he was Kiefer Sutherland. That is who that character is modeled
after.
And
they could not have cast that guy better.
Right.
It's not what I was going to originally say.
Okay.
But he is just the douchiest looking good.
Dude.
And I was like, you know what? I bet, like, when he smiles and he's like, you know, looking the way he does today, he's probably not that douchey. And I looked him up, and he is just a douchey-looking
douchey.
He still had the douchey little mustache in real life. It was perfect. He was perfect.
The hair was fake, but the porn stash, that was real.
That was totes real, yes. Yeah.
So what were you going to say?
Do you ever watch Psych?
No, Max likes it. Okay. Max is my kid listener, and he thinks it's great. I've tried to watch a couple episodes, and it's pretty predictable.
It is, but it's also fun, and we've been watching it every night. We're up to like halfway through season 6, but they're so good at homaging 80s things.
Yeah, I've seen some of those theme episodes.
The other night, we watched a vampire themed episode, but they had Christy Swanson and they had Corey Feldman.
Oh, well, well.
It. And it was like, and they're so good at doing that. Like,
they might have also had Corey Haim just in an urn.
Yeah, exactly. I always want to say
he
Corey
was just
Haim.
In the background in a vase. With
exactly.
The rose sticking
we didn't
out
know
of
it.
One
but they, you know,
red
they had
rose.
An episode where they had to go to a insane asylum.
Yeah.
And Brad Dorff was in the episode. You know, just things like that. And it's brilliant. Yeah. It's brilliantly done.
Which oh, and they had an episode based entirely around Twin Peaks that was hilarious.
Which,
oh,
not my wheelhouse. She liked Twin
so
Peaks.
So many
it was
yes.
so
good.
They
episode.
Had Twin Peaks people in it and everything. Mm-hmm.
It was not, awesome.
It was awesome. Not my thing. Not my thing.
Yeah.
But I know so many people I know love it. Mm. And I'm just like, really cool. I'm still behind on Archer and Letterkenny. So let's, yep. you know, find the wheelhouse.
Twin Peaks was incredible. That's a show. I didn't actually see it all the way through until I was in college, but
my sister is getting a pile of corn chips.
Thank you. Mom loved Twin Peaks. Remember?
I will say they're hard yeah. to eat with the microphone.
Yeah, when it was on network TV, Mom would watch. Dad would watch it, but he would just kind of be in the room, mm-hmm. if I remember right.
Yeah.
And I would be in the room and be like, I don't get it.
So we had a Twin Peaks watch night when I was in college. I had a friend who was obsessed with it, and he had all the VHS tapes, so he insisted that we watch it. And we ended up watching the entire thing all the way through twice.
Wow.
Just because. And what we would do, we'd get together once a week in his little basement apartment, and we'd watch two episodes a week. And so by the time we were doing the second thing through, we had invited a bunch of people to watch it with us. And I was literally like, my friend Heather and I, we would show up and we literally did like tin foil on the table with the donut stacks. Like we'd bring donuts and we stacked it up. We brought cherry pie and coffee one episode. Like it was very fun. Mm-hmm. We did snacks.
Well, you should seek out that episode and see what you think of it.
Yeah.
Psych. Is Psych on Netflix?
It's on it. What used to be, but then it disappeared.
Is it on Hulu? She
no,
has the Hulu now.
It's on Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime.
I have oh, he's Amazon Prime.
The, between the two of us, we've
we
got,
have all the streaming.
We have
services.
Most of the major streaming services.
Yeah. And I do have the Amazon Prime. So.
I even have HBO, but don't tell anybody because I'm totally stealing it.
Stealing HBO. Listener, I certainly hope that was a more cohesive episode for your listening pleasure. But we have made it. We have made it to the end of the show. My name is Derek Knights. It's the big program. Colin Burton was here.
Yes, goodbye.
Bye now. My sister Heather.
See you later.
Jess did some talking.
Bye. Sorry, I talked too much.
No, don't apologize. I'm pretty sure listeners.
We're here.
You're probably listener's favorite.
No, that's weird. Listener, you're creepy. I like you.
Super creepy.
Don't change.
Kids, we'll be back another time.